and read together from 1 Peter chapter number 1, beginning with verse number 13. This would be a continuation of the reading from the last sermon I had. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. This chapter speaks of what God has done, the great things that God hath done, in that he had provided for those that would believe in him his abundant grace and peace, abundant mercy, a lively hope, and we are kept by his power in this faith that we believe in, that we come to know that Jesus Christ is the truth, the life, and the way. And so we see the power and the ability of God and all the things that he does, and he shows unto us his great and mighty things that he does continuously. And how that there was this salvation that was prophesied of prophets of old, that this grace was going to come to all that would believe in this plan of salvation which God had foreordained. And so in verse number 9 it says that we receive at the end of our faith even the salvation of our souls. So we see that God in his goodness is providing us this salvation. This salvation, this redemption from a damnation that was certainly to be ours through the fall of Adam. For as in Adam all dies, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And we are made alive in this faith that we have. So as we develop our faith and as we grow in this faith, both in root and in a deeper way, and then growing upward in this faith, that at the end of this faith, that it might be found unto the praise and honor and the glory of our Heavenly Father at the appearing of Jesus Christ, and that we then receive even the salvation of our souls as we have this faith and grow in this faith. And so this second part of the chapter speaks of this faith that we have, speaks of what does this faith look like? What is a faith in the Almighty God who gives unto those who believe in him an inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, fades not away, and it's reserved in heaven for us? What does this life of faith look like? And that's what he speaks here in the second half of the chapter, the Apostle Peter. And so he begins here saying, this is what a life of faith in our Almighty God looks like, and that the end of this faith would bring salvation to our souls. And he first says that, gird up the loins of your mind. Gird up the loins of your mind. What does that mean? These aren't terms that we typically use in today's language. What does that mean? Gird up the loins of our minds. It means to be prepared. It means to be aware of what's happening, to be sharp in our minds, to be focused, This is what it means to gird up the loins of our mind, that we would be prepared and know what's coming. We're not ignorant of Satan's devices, the Word of God says. And so as we go through our lives and we find ourselves in a weak spot or in a position that brings about a temptation that's custom to us and it's strong, it's a strong temptation. Well, if the loins of our minds are girded up, we know that when we place ourselves in that place or in that position, Satan's going to come to us pretty strongly and he's going to tempt us. And so we're aware of that. And so we, in this life of faith that we have, is we don't put ourselves in that position. We are prepared. We are mindful. We are aware of Satan's devices. And so the loins of our minds are girded up. We're being wise. We're having the mind of Christ. This is what a life of faith looks like. Be sober. Again, being aware, being diligent, being watching around us, knowing what's going on around us, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We know through scriptures of how this grace comes. We are saved by grace through faith. We are saved by grace through faith. And so this faith leads to the salvation of our souls. This faith leads to this grace. This grace comes upon us through at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As we come to know him, this abundant grace and this mercy that comes to us through God and in his power and his wonderful ways and wonderful things that he shows to us, this comes to us, and we become mindful of that in this life of faith that we live. As obedient children, and we consider that beautiful example of children when they're given instruction and the children in simplicity simply do as they are told. And God wants us to be in that manner as well, that when God speaks to us through his word that is everlasting, that we, as simply as obedient children, we come to have a life of faith and that we fulfill what God would tell us to do. Even as we see examples in the Bible that of those that simply were obedient to what God told them to do, and there was blessings in that. Think of Naaman as he dipped himself in the River Jordan according to the number of times that he was told. He did that in obedience, and in his obedience he received healing from his leprosy. And there are others who in simple obedience followed what God had told them to do. And when they followed in what God told them to do as obedient children, their lives were blessed. Their lives were blessed. They had that communion. They had that closeness with the Lord. This was a revelation of their active faith that they had in God. Knowing that what God speaks and tells us what to do, it's for our benefit. When God gives us instruction, it's ultimately for our benefit. That we would be spared from some evil that result from bad decisions, and that ultimately we would have eternal life. And so a life of faith is exemplified by being obedient children, as obedient children. And then he says, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. So there needs to be a difference. There needs to be a complete opposite from what we once were. Saying not fashioning ourselves, not positioning ourselves, not behaving, not being involved in things that were according to our former lusts. When we didn't know God and didn't know his blessings and didn't experience his love, his mercy, and his grace, and his forgiveness. Not fashioning ourselves that way. And so the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. This is the new life in Christ. This is a life of faith, that we would walk in newness of life and glorify him for what he has done. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, For all that is in the world, and the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it's of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. This is what the Apostle Peter is leading us to understand this life of faith, that what's of the world, that's going to pass away, and that's going to separate us from God, because the love of the Father is not in us if we love these things. But if we do the will of God, we will abide forever. If we do the will of God, the Bible says, we will abide forever. Again, going back to verse number 9 of this first chapter of Peter, saying, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Our souls will be redeemed eternally when we, as obedient children, not fashion ourselves according to our former lust. Now, there needs to be a complete difference. All things need to become new to us. That's a life of faith. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And so we think of that term holy, and that's being separated, that's being different and unique, set apart, consecrated. This is what holy is referring to. And so we see that the holiness of God is great. And we see that throughout Scripture, that the holiness of God is great. And here he's saying, be ye holy as your Father is holy, he's not saying that we would reach up to God's level of holiness. There's no way we can do that. That would be blasphemous to think that we can reach to the level of holiness as our Heavenly Father. But that we would be separated and consecrated and dedicated to the service of God. That's a life of faith. This is what a life of faith is, that we would be dedicated, separated, consecrated to a life of service, to a life of doing what God would have us to do, walking again in the mind of Christ, with the Holy Spirit directing us and guiding us. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, past the time of your sojourning here in fear. We're calling on God. We recognize God has been so good. We have felt his grace and his peace, his lively hope. We have felt his abundant mercy. We know all these things. And so we're calling on God, and we grow in him. And he's going to judge us every man's work. And then he says, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. So as we walk in this walk of faith, we're walking with an extreme reverence towards God, an extreme respect for God, for who he is. And we're diligent to walk in his ways, looking to this word of truth. And as we do so, we know that God will reward us accordingly. If we go back to the last book of the Bible, Revelation, there's an angel in chapter 14. It says that there's an angel that makes a loud proclamation. An angel makes this loud proclamation. He says, "Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come." There is going to be a time when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we're instructed here in Peter's epistle that we would fear God, that we would have that awesome respect and reverence for who God is. And the angel is saying at the last time there, now fear God, have that respect and that reverence toward him. And he's going to judge every man according to his works. Every man, each of us individually. And we are to give him glory. God will bless us, and God will give us this grace to do his will. It's not that we can do it of ourselves. When we live this life of faith, when we believe in him, when we yield ourselves to him in fullness, when we walk as new creatures, when behold, all things are become new to us, when we are these obedient children, doing what God would have us to do, having our minds girded up, being prepared, God gives us grace for all these things. God gives us strength. God gives us wisdom. We fail, and then we turn to the Lord in prayer and asking Him for renewed grace, renewed strength. And He provides that for us in abundance. This is who God is, but He wants us to turn to Him and to love Him. For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition of your father from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. There was nothing that redeemed us other than the precious blood of Christ. In the old days, they had the temple, and that temple was ordained ornately with gold and lavishly decorated with silver and gold, but none of these things saved them. And there is no idol that can save us. There is no philosophy that can save us. There is nothing that can save us, that can redeem us, that can give us salvation, this sparing from the damnation that was due to us. There's nothing except for the blood of Christ. That's what redeems us. That's what buys us back to the Father. That's what makes us righteous. That's what makes us presentable to God, is this precious blood of Christ. And so as we consider that truth and that what God has done for us, as He foreordained this plan that when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, that the plan was in place already that Jesus' blood would cover sin for all mankind. And this is what we've been redeemed with. And we believe in that. We believe that it's Jesus Christ and the shedding of His blood which redeems us. And in that faith of Jesus Christ and what He has done for us in shedding of His blood gives us the salvation of our souls. He was a lamb without blemish and without spot. And He was, as the Bible says here, He was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Before God said, let there be light. Before God said, let there be light, He was foreordained that he would be that sacrifice and that which would be acceptable to God, who by Him do believe in God, that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Where else can we place faith than in God for our salvation? In what else can we have hope? I firmly believe that it takes more faith to believe in evolution than it takes faith to believe in God. In what can we have hope in? If there's anything that we see and aspire to, that hope is, the Bible says, is not hope. For if we see it, it's not hope. But there's something great that God wants to give us, this inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, and fades not away. There's something great that God wants to give unto us, and our hope is to be in that, and in what God has done for us. Again, He's showing unto us great and mighty things that we know not of. And so He continues and explains what this life of faith looks like. And He says, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Obeying the truth. Obeying the truth. This is, I believe, we all have a desire to. We want to obey the truth. This is the truth. This is the Word of God. And we want to obey and live by the truths that are written here in the Bible. And so we believe that there is one God, who is above all and through all and in us all. We believe that there is this one God. We believe that He's merciful. We believe in the sending of His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. We believe in His word that it's true. And so we also need to believe that when He says that we ought to obey the truth, and this truth leads us to love of the brethren, then we need to fulfill that as well. Just as we believe that there is one God, and one spirit. We need to believe that a life of faith is revealed through love of the brethren. This obeying of the truth, it will always lead us to the love of the brethren. This obeying of the truth goes beyond simply saying, I won't have the lust of the flesh, the lust of the world, or the pride of life. I won't have any of that in my mind. I'll keep away from those things. But it goes beyond that. And that love of the truth will lead us, the obeying of the truth will lead us to unfeigned love of the brethren. This is a manifestation of a life of faith. This is what the Spirit of God will always lead us to. We were blessed for the last two Sundays to have had visiting ministers. And if we think of the succession of sermons and their topics that were brought out, they were beautiful in that there was unity in diversity. That in Ephesians chapter 4, it speaks that there's diversity. There's no two of us are the same. We're all unique from each other. We've all had life experiences that are different from each other, and we come to different conclusions in our minds. That's well and good, but we are to have unity in that. That's a life of faith. That's having unfeigned love of the brethren. And then another message was that when we do have differences and even opposite convictions on certain matters, that despite that, we would still have a love one and a respect one for another. That's a truth of the Bible. And the Bible here is saying that a life of faith leads us to unfeigned love of the brethren. And then we were taught about forgiveness. That's love, unfeigned love of the brethren. Forgiveness. Not when there's a made-up hurt, but a hurt that really stings. That's real. That really stings. That a life of faith brings about a forgiveness of that because there is unfeigned love of the brethren, because God has forgiven us more than we would ever have to forgive one another. And then we also heard another message of having a purpose in our hearts to do something, to have intentionality. And so as we live out this life of faith, there are times when we're going to have to be intentional, that we are going to have to gird up the loins of our minds. So this is going to require us to be intentional, that if I'm alone and I have the internet in front of me, that I need to be intentional about this and guard myself against temptation. This is a life of faith. And so many other examples. He continues here being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So we're born again. We're born again how? Through the word of God. This is how we're born again, through the word of God. Through no other means. We are born again. Our sins have been forgiven by the blood of Christ. We come to know who God is through his word, and we come to know what a life of faith is in him. It's all through the word of God. And we are born again. Behold, when all things are become new, they are become new to us through the word of God. Through nothing else. Not through an emotional experience. Nothing through anything shallow. But being born again through the word of God. That his spirit would dwell in us. And he makes us to be new. New minds, new thoughts, new aspirations, new desires. Doing what God would have us to do. That we are born again by his word, and his word lives and abides forever. That is a truth that sometimes, maybe for us, we can't fully grasp and we can't fully understand, that his word abides forever. And here's what doesn't abide forever. In the next verse it says, for all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. And so it is that the word of God abides forever. It's from everlasting to everlasting. His word abides forever. But we don't. We don't. All flesh is as grass, and as the flower that withereth. And so we see throughout scriptures that truth is played out in that manifest, and even then throughout history. We see it in Psalm 37. I'm not going to turn to it, and I'm not going to quote it exactly, but it speaks that the psalmist saw evil men rise up in great power, not just power, but saw evil men raise up in great power, and they spread themselves as a great bay tree. And if you know what a bay tree or banyan tree looks like, it spreads itself out significantly, and with its branches going everywhere, it has tentacles that come down and make roots and further expands. It continually expands. And so the psalmist is saying these evil men, they're rising up, their great power. It's as this big tree that just continually grows. And then it says, and he dies. These evil men, this evil men of this power, they die. And they're gone. And the psalmist says, and he looks for them, but they're nowhere to be seen. They're gone. They're as the grass that withereth and the flower that passeth away. That's the glory of man. And so we see that played out through history over and over again. We see it in the political realm. There's great men. We think of George Washington, Abraham Lincoln. We think of great men in the business, John D. Rockefeller and Andrew Carnegie. They're all gone. They're gone. They are no more. There are those in academics that have rose to great titles. There are those in sports that have raised to great titles. There are those that, even in the religious realm, that have rose and had great titles and a great, they rose and their name was great. But they're gone. They're gone. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of God endures forever. And so we look to the word. There are those that went on before us, and they made great strides in their lives, but they still needed the word of God. All these people that I've mentioned, and Martin Luther and so many others, even in the religious realms, they all needed the word of God. Muhammad needed the word of God. He came and he went, but we all need to look to the word of God. The word of God liveth and abideth forever. And then it says again, the word of the Lord endureth forever. We look to this word. This word was around when these men were around. And this word is around now. And we look to his word. And then sometime in the future, if the Lord tarries, we'll all be gone. And there'll be a new people here. And they need to look to the word as well. We all need to look to the word. It's the word that gives life. It's the word that tells us who God is. It's the word of God that tells us of what his great grace and his peace is like. It's the word of God that reveals unto us his abundant mercy. It's the word of God that reveals unto us his lively hope. It's the word of God that reveals unto us his keeping power, that no temptation would come upon us that would be greater than that which we would be able to bear. And so we respond to what God has done, these great and mighty things that God has done. We respond to that with a life of faith. This life of faith makes us in our minds to have the mind of Christ. This life of faith, as it responds to what God has done, would cause us to be obedient children, submitting ourselves to God and what he would have us to do. This life of faith would bring us to have love and respect one toward another, even though we're different. This life of faith would cause us to remember we're here for just a short while, and then we're gone. This is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Amen.